Well, Jerry is with us now. Jerry, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. What are your thoughts on this latest situation with Marion Price?
Well, my latest thoughts on what happened yesterday are that the actual throwing out the court of the charges is more or less irrelevant to us. We didn't believe those charges were worthy of being brought to court. The problem that we have is the situation hasn't changed at all. Marion's in jail because a licence was revoked by one Patterson, despite the fact that that licence had been overridden by a Royal Prerogative of Mercy in 1980. So, to us, the situation hasn't changed at all.
Well, actually, the NIO are disputing that, Jerry. And they say that the Royal Prerogative of Mercy was exercised to allow Mrs McGlinchey to be released early in respect of a fixed 20-year sentence. And the NIO is saying that it does not apply to her two life sentences.
Well, what's very funny about that, Stephen, is, as you may or may not know, when her licence was revoked on the 16th of May last year, the solicitor, my own solicitor, immediately asked that the Royal Prerogative of Mercy be produced. After months of stalling, the PPS said that they couldn't produce the Prerogative of Mercy because it had been lost and was believed shredded. This, as far as we know, is the only time in history the pardon has been destroyed. The funny thing is that despite the fact they aren't able to produce it, they claim they know what was in it. They say that they don't know what was in it because what was in it was a full pardon. We remember that from the time she was actually released.
Can they not get another copy of it?
Well, this again is what we say. To us, this couldn't have happened accidentally. Somebody destroyed the pardon. Somebody ordered its destruction. Yet, as far as we're aware, there has been absolutely no investigation by anybody. The PSNI, the PPS, or the Department of Justice as to who did this or who ordered it.
Well, and there is that's what you claim. Jerry, but there's absolutely no evidence whatsoever that anybody deliberately destroyed that pardon.
No one has looked for any evidence, Stephen. Our problem comes that, again, I say it's the only pardon in history that's missing, and we find it very, very hard to believe that it was destroyed accidentally. To push it, the scenario ends, and again, this could be cuckoo land, but I honestly believe that the most likely scenario was that when the licence was revoked and the solicitor asked for the pardon, that somebody went to Marion's file, opened it and says, oh, what are we going to do now? And then the pardon was taken from that file and they either destroyed or hidden.
Again, absolutely no evidence to prove that whatsoever.
Absolutely no evidence.
That's your speculation.
That's my speculation, only because, again, as I say...
But it's a fair question from you. There is a fair question from you insofar as surely there is a backup copy of this. Where is it? Why can't it be produced? Now, the revoking of the licence was on the recommendation of the parole commissioners. So this wasn't Owen Patterson, the Secretary of State, out on a solo run. He was following the recommendation of the parole commissioners.
Well,
now, are you seriously suggesting they took that decision without any grounds whatsoever?
Again, all I would say is that when someone's released in license, there's a book opened, a sort of parole agenda, for want of a better statement. There's no book was ever opened in Marion because Marion was released on a royal pardon. You know, so that again, contradicts what the PPS are saying.
The life sentence remains, though. The two life sentences remain. It is clear.
Again, as I say, if she was fit and licensed, there would have been a book opened on any licensed prisoner, and no book was opened in Marion's case because no license applied.
Here's the bottom line, Jerry. People listening will be asking this. What was she doing holding a speech for a masked man at a Republican rally in Derry last year?
Again, as I say, she's given her explanation for that, whether people choose to believe it or not. She was asked to do it, was taken by surprise and held a statement. She didn't know what was in the statement. And again, The judge yesterday.
So she's holding a piece of paper with a masked man standing beside her and doesn't know what's in it.
Correct.
What did it strike her that the man was masked?
Well, again, as I say, she was taken by surprise and was asking in the normal run of events if she had time to think about it, most certainly wouldn't have held the piece of paper. But she held the piece of paper, and for someone to now say that that entitles the Secretary of State or the legal system or whoever to keep her in jail indefinitely with no tariff and no release date defies belief.
Are you seriously asking ordinary, decent people to believe that if an ordinary citizen in this country was asked by a masked man to hold a speech at a Republican rally, that they wouldn't think to themselves, what's in that? They would think that's normal course of events. Hi, here, give it here, and I'll grab it and I'll hold it. No, and I'll stand and I'll stand again, right beside him.
Again, as I say, she was taken by surprise and she was asked to hold it, as most people would be, and how anybody would react in that situation is up for argument, you know. I don't know if I were at a commemoration of that type and somebody asked me to hold some, I don't know if I would be quick enough to say, no, I'm not touching that, you know. And again, that's the position, and it's totally debatable as to any other circumstance. You know, the thing is that she's now been in jail for a year. It'll be a year on Sunday. She's in solitary confinement. Total lack of human rights there. Juan Mendez...
Tell me about the conditions she was in, Jerry.
She's actually what's known as a separated prisoner. So she's held in isolation. In the normal course of the day, the only people she has near are the jailers, you know? So, again, as I say, Juan Mendez, in October last year, he's a human rights spokesperson for the UN, stated that solitary confinement is torture and that more than 15 days in solitary confinement should be banned as it leads to a serious decline in physical and mental health. Now, the doctors, the prison doctors, I might add, have recommended that she should be moved to a hospital, that the conditions she's been held in are most certainly not conducive to her well-being.
Tell me about the psychological condition that she's in.
Well, the psychological condition she's in, Stephen, is when she's open in the morning, as it's called, she has no one to speak to except the jailers. Right? She then knows that she's going to get locked up again at lunchtime. She knows that she's no release to look forward to. As I say, it just defies belief that in this day and age anybody can be kept under those circumstances.
And can you spell out for me what impact that has had on her? What is she like?
Well, she's lost a lot of it. She's very, very pale because she doesn't get much fresh air. Her mental health, well, it's very hard for me to judge, but all I can tell you is that from one visit to the next, she very often can't remember what was told her in the last visit or any news that we've brought for the family. And again, as I say, it's just, even for the family themselves, the stress we are under is, again, as I say, no one knows what she's actually charged with here. There's no release date, no tariff. She was moved from McGabbrey as a Category A to Haidbank in February this year, which apparently means she's no longer a high security prisoner. If that's the case, we don't understand when this situation is reviewed or what's supposed to happen with it, you know?
Let's just remind ourselves, Jerry, that she still faces other charges in connection to the murders of two soldiers at Mazarine Barracks in Antrim. Now, she denies providing property, including a mobile phone, for terrorist purposes in connection with the killing of those two soldiers. But they're very, very serious charges.
Stephen, she was originally arrested in those in November 2009, and the PTS decided there was no case to answer. This has been brought on to add some weight to the Secretary of State's decision to revoke a license.
Well, you claim. But the reality is, Jerry, she still faces those charges.
But she's been given bail for, Stephen, yet she's done a year in prison so far. You know, she got bail on those charges. And as I say, those charges had been deemed by the PPS not worthy to proceed with on her original arrest.
The Secretary of State, Owen Paterson, said at the time that her licence had been revoked because the threat she posed had significantly increased.
But she didn't defend in what way or what was to do. And
well, presumably because, Jerry, some of it is based on intelligence.
Again, as I say, if you look at the situation, even in England now, where intelligence reports have led to all sorts of disbelief from the public and from MPs there as to what the source is, what's made up and what's not. You know, intelligence sources here are a long way off Lily White, for want of a better phrase, Stephen.
What do you mean?
There are that many cases where intelligence was used and collusion cases that are still going on and that there have been no reviews on. And it's not beyond the intelligence services here to act in ways that should be totally outside the law.
So you're on this morning asking the public to back you in a situation where you want every single detail scrutinised, and meanwhile, the lady who you are supporting stands beside a masked man. We have no idea who that masked man is. We know what he said in that rally. She claims she didn't know what was on the piece of paper. We know what masked men and the terror that they have instilled in Northern Ireland for many, many years have done. And some people might just be questioning, Jerry, the scrutiny that you're asking for in the British judicial system and the intelligence services against the masked men who hide, who shoot, who kill, and want absolutely no accountability for their actions whatsoever.
Stephen, we were told that in the new administration, justice would be done and be seen to be done. All I'm asking is in this case of Marion, that we can see where the justice is supposed to be being done here. And she is most certainly not receiving justice. Her human rights have been abused. She's been held as a political hostage here. And I believe that part of the reason she's in prison at the moment is to say to other people who may or may not wish to speak out against things that are happening, is, look, if you don't keep your mouth shut, you'll be in jail with her.
The parole commissioners have said that they are to fully review her case.
Well, again, as I say, the parole commissioners then asked about the pardon and the destruction of the pardon, said that they would infer from the Secretary of State that what he said was true. If that is the case, why would the change remain now? And as I say, the hope of some sort of justice, because, as I say, people at the time are well aware that she received the pardon. Again, as I say, there was no book opened for a licence, and that's why the pardon has gone.
Your solicitor,
no proof, but I can't have proof because I wasn't privy to its destruction.
Your solicitor, Kevin Winter, said 1 year later, we're told today that the charge has been withdrawn. This raises serious doubts on the credibility of the reasons to revoke her licence, and we intend to revisit this through the courts.
Correct. It shouldn't need to be going through the courts. The Secretary of State should be able to hold his hands up and say, look, made a mistake here. She's free. Because, as I say, her health's deteriorating now, while we speak. And the problem for the family and myself here in particular is that I'm afraid she'll reach the point where her recovery is 58 years old. She's in very poor health. And the recovery, if ever, will be a very long time down the line.
Let me just ask you personally, and let's not talk about Marion Price, because she still faces active charges around those two soldiers. But it doesn't prevent me asking you, what do you think about the murder of those two soldiers? Do you condemn it?
I condemn anybody's murder, Stephen. It's, as I say, the loss of any life, and I'm not being, what would the word be? I'm not trying to spoof here or anything. The loss of any life to be regretted, you know.
So you would say, so you would hope that the killers of those two soldiers were brought to justice?
Yeah, in the long term, yeah, but I would also hope that justice is seen to be done as opposed to the type of thing they're having at the moment.
What do you mean?
That there's an open judicial system, that secret courts aren't there, that evidence can't be given in secret, that so-called intelligence reports have to be made public, as opposed to people not even being aware of what they're being accused of. As I say, the new administration was supposed to bring justice that was done and seen to be done. And that would be what I would hope for all cases.
Let me ask it clearly, Jerry. Do you support dissident Republicans?
Do I support dissident Republicans? Violent dissident Republicans or dissident Republicans?
Do you support dissident Republicans?
I support republicanism, but I don't support violence.
So you would condemn any dissident Republican that uses any type of violent action?
I would condemn violence.
Well, it's a straight question.
The man I've just
listened to over the last 20 minutes or so, asking for pure justice and for the judicial system to be clean, for a dissident Republican who in the middle of the night skulks under somebody's car and plants a bomb, do you condemn them?
I condemn them, yes. But I condemn them in the same way as I condemn all violence.
Okay.
They're no better and no worse than any other perpetrators of violence.
Okay. Jerry, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Stephen.